אבל זה חצי שעה, זה רואה לימוד בחצי שעה.
אוקיי,
זה חצי שעה. תארו אינו פרס לונדן, סונדי, חוף טס ניסן, 11th of April, הרב בן יוני בירנבאום שליטה, תארו פרספקטיבס און דמוקרסי. This week's Torahway has been sponsored by family Sebag, Leila Nishmas, Rav Mordechai David Ben Reb Zev Halevi, for the Yahrzeit of Rav Mark Held Zichron Levracha.
Okay, thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. What I thought would be interesting to do is look at different perspectives on democracies. Democracy is something which encompasses so much of we just take it for granted everywhere and anywhere. And I thought it would be interesting to see, both mitzad halacha, mitzad hashkafa, what the Torah's view is. How does it fit into the Torah's worldview? Let's put it like that. You know, how do we fit into the perspective from a number of different angles? Can we see a if you like, quote unquote, a model in the Torah halacha for democracy itself? And if so, where does that take us? And going right back to the beginning in terms of the psukim of the Torah, or the Melech, is there a scope within that for a system of governance, if you like, that is based around democracy? So we begin with the psukim in Parashas Shoftim. Ki sovel aris v'shem kach nusin lachol nusin lach v'yishtov v'shavta ba. So you have the famous one when you are martos simo alai Melech kachol agoyim asher svivo yisai. So the idea being that the Torah says, when you wish to appoint a melech, this is the way you shall do it. Soim tosim olecho melech, ashevcha shem lekecha boi, mikerev echecha tosim olecho melech. And then you have all the various rules of the melech and the qualities and everything else that he has to have. The most famous question about the entire parsha is the idea of whether this was supposed to be a lechatchila or a bedieved v'omar to, right? When you say, osimo olai melech kechol hagoyim asher svivo yisai, I will appoint a king just like everyone else. Then, if you wish to do so, then you can do X, Y, Z. Then you can. This is the way to do it. But is it a lechatchila or a bedieved? And on that, we have the parsha supporting the concern, the questions about whether or not a melech is in fact a lechatchila, is in fact a preferred option. You have the parsha of the appointment of Shaul as Melech in Sefer Shmuel, where the people gather together, Kol Zikni Yisrael, Vayavoyal Shmuel HaRamosa, Vayomre Elov Hinei Atozo Kanto, Uvonecho Leholchu Bidrochecho, and your children haven't gone in your way, there's a problem, Atona Simulonu Melech L'Shoftenu Kol HaGoyim, appoint a king to judge us like all of the nations. Vayira Adov Vayini Shmuel, Shmuel's very upset, and he says, he's very upset when they ask for a king in this way, and he davens to Hashem, and Hashem tells him, this is how it is, you have to follow them. It's not you, it is me they have rejected in this through this request. So you see again, the idea that the concept of a melech is a bedieved. It's not so much a lechatchila. It seems to be a situation which is not a preferred setup. And the Rishonim have a number of different, and the Acharim, a number of different approaches as to how to understand this. The Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim that the issue here and the criticism was because l'fisha shalu b'tarumus, because they asked in a way of complaining, that was the problem. Because they asked in a way that looked like they were rejecting Shmuel HaNovi. Now that's what the pasuk means when it says, it's not you they've rejected, but they've rejected me, Hashem says. So the Rambam understands that it was simply because they didn't ask in the right way. There is a mitzvah to appoint a king, but it has to be done in the right way. And they did not do so in the right way. But the Drasha Soran has a very interesting, very, very fascinating fascinating answer to this problem. And and this begins to bring us towards the position and the understanding that there are different, that the whole notion of governance itself is complex. The Ran says, Drasha Soran, Drashud Aleph, says like this, that he says, Pshata Kosov Kahu. He says, Yodu ki aminu enoshi tzorach l'shevet yishpo b'ein protov. You clearly need a judicial system. You need a system which keeps and upholds all the rules. If you don't have that, everyone's going to swallow each other alive at the Mishnah and others. You know, there's not going to be any setup where people are going to be able to conduct normal affairs. And he says, it needs a setup for the country that will enable them to proceed in the right way. And Israel need this like any other nation. However, we have something else, which is that we need a system of shoftim, a beistin, which for another reason, lahamid chukei haTorah al tilom. We need a system which will not just enable us to function in a normal civil way. We need a system that will enable us to keep the Torah in the right way, which is the whole sub-function and system of beistin of Sanhedrin. And he goes on to say, lahamid chavi malkios, chavi beisus beistin, over chukei haTorah. Everything that applies in terms of the chukim of the Torah, whether it's Malkus, whether it's Mises Beistin. And he says like this, that there is a situation, however, that people, if you like, are they don't come under the basic jurisdiction or the ability of a shofet, of the shoftim, or the system of Beistin, the Sanhedrin, to if you like, adjudicate for. And he says, for that purpose, there is a situation where you have people who ein roi laha anisha kvi mishpat tzedek amiti, avli chuyev la anisha kvi tikkun seidim medini kvi tzerech hashoah. You can have a situation where people, it's not clear that they fall under the particular justice system, so to speak, but in order to keep order in society as a whole, there is a need to keep them in line. There is a need to set in place rules and order in order that society itself runs in an orderly fashion. And he says that the idea of the king was in order to fulfill that particular function. It's a functional and necessary part of the structure of the system of governance, effectively. The idea is that the king's role is like those who try to evade the system, or those who try to maybe, that's how the Ran understands it, those who might, let's say, try and commit crimes without there's no aidim, for example, or they exploit loopholes, if you like, that just effectively could allow the society to collapse. For that, the king, the melech, is appointed in order to make sure that things stay in track and that society is kept in order as a whole. Now, and he says like this. So he says that the shoftim is lishpot hamishpat hatzedek amiti, and the king is in order to keep everything in line in terms of the order of society. So what happened with Shmuel? What did they do? What was it? What was incorrect? What they did? And the answer is because they said, what they wanted, effectively, was they wanted a king where the king was in charge of everything. Like a dictatorial rule where the king controlled all branches, right? The king was in charge effectively. That's how the Ran seems to understand it, that the king was controlling everything. There wasn't, to use a modern phrase, a separation of powers. The king was entirely in control. Shofteinu k'chol ha'goyim. We want the king l'shofteinu. We want the king to judge us and rule over us in every single way. And that was the problem. That's how the Ran understands that the problem was. They didn't want a system where the king was doing the right thing that the king should do, and that the judicial system was doing the right thing that the judicial and the Beistin, the Sanhedrin, could do. And there are other answers to this question as well. But the Netziv, fascinatingly, understands like this. The Netziv says that he brings this question. Why does it say V'omarto, you say you'd like to appoint a king? And he says, "V'nireh demshum d'anhogas amadino mishtane emisnayag al pidas malucho oyal pidas ha'om v'nivchoreihem." He says that the way a country is guided or is led changes whether it is run through a melech or through the people and those they elect as leaders. He says, "V'yesh medino she'enu yichol lispol das malucho." He says that there are some countries that cannot cope, they can't function with a system of a king. V'yesh medina shebelo melech harei kusvinu b'li kavranit. He says that there are countries where, without a king, it's like a ship without a captain. They can't function without that type of leadership, that type of with a king in that position of power. He says, therefore, the reason why the Torah phrases it like this and says, "Va'omarto," and you will appoint, right? And not in the sense of a basic mitzvah asay, is because to say to put it in a phrase of a mitzvah asay, he says it was problematic because there are different ways that are right for different countries. Anything that replies to the country as a whole is potentially a sakonas nefashos involved. You're dealing with very, very serious issues that can even be doicha mitzvah sasei. Mishum hochi, therefore, lo efshel tzavos behechlat limnos melech. He says it wasn't possible to appoint, to command completely that the Klal Yisrael, for example, were obligated to appoint a king. Kozman shle ola ba'askomas ha'om lisboil oil melech. As long as the people themselves hadn't agreed, if you like, to bear the yoke of a king. Until they saw surrounding countries who they quite liked that system of governance, and they said, well, we think that can work for us. Then the mitzvah saseh would apply for the Sanhedrin to appoint a king. It's a fascinating thing that the Netziv is doing here. The Netziv is saying that if the Torah came along first and said, you have a mitzvah saseh to appoint a king, the issue is that we're dealing here effectively with how to run the country on a practical level. And if the Torah says a king, well, hold on a second, you might say sakonos nefoshos, because we're dealing with here with areas that are potentially supersede a mitzvah asay. So in order to preempt that, the way the Torah sets out the mitzvah itself leaves a space for different types of governance. That's how the Netziv understands it. And he clearly seems to understand that there are different times and different places. There are times and places where the concept of a monarchy is appropriate, and then there are times and places where the concept of a monarchy is inappropriate. And in that case, it may well be that there is scope for within the conceptual, if you like, framework, or the way the Torah looks at these, at the whole piece of how a country is run, and it can be run under a system of democracy, or as we would like, he calls it the Ha'am v'nivchareihem. Of course, you'll ask me, there's still a problem in terms of what does the Netziv do with what happened in Sefer Shmuel? If that's the case, it seems to be that they did exactly what they were supposed to do. So we'll presumably have to use some of the other Turetzim in terms of whether they wanted a king that was beyond, you know, the scope of the powers, or the fact that it was almost a rejection. The way they asked for it was inappropriate. They complained, the Taromas, you know, these various answers.
Sorry, yes. What he's saying is that you need a democracy to decide to have a king.
He's saying...
he said there has to be the will of the people
want a king. We're using the word democracy a little bit sort of, you know, in an informal way, where it doesn't formally, you know, use that idea, but it has to be that it's the Rotzon Ha'om. That's right. It's the Rotzon Ha'om has to come first. That's exactly. And therefore it has to be V'omar Toh. What the Netziv does is he explains why this has to be V'omar Toh. Because when you're talking about how, you know, it's a bit like, in a way, the way the run learns, right? The main role of the king, yeah, is to physically run the place, right? It's to run, you know, the country. You have the Beis Din, Sanhedrin, you know, the Shoftim, they will deal with, that's the judicial system, right? But someone has to run the country, right? Someone has to make sure what was that?
The dustbin
time. Yeah. Someone has to run every aspect of the country. And for that, the way the Netziv understands it, that by definition will be toila, will depend on, you know, the way the people want, the system of governance that the people want. That's how that's on the Netziv understands. Very, 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 very fascinating idea. It's not, of course, so simple. Again, we're still within this the idea of looking at an ideal situation and setting. Is it possible for the notion of quote-unquote democracy to be considered a, if you like, a lechatchila from the perspective of the Torah? That's really what we're asking. And we know there's the Ramban in at the end of Bereshis brings out the idea that when we talk about Malchus itself, it's very clearly defined in the Torah as to where that Malchus needs to come from. So to extend the Malchus to something beyond that, even if you're in the realm of a Melech, is very difficult, right? The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, is a Brisa, very famous Gemara, Le'yosu Shevet Mi'Yehuda, right? The Shevet Mi'Yehuda will not be the rulership, will not depart from Yehuda. These are the Roshei Goliyos Shebabovel. So there was the Roshei Goliyos Shebabovel, the ones who were leading after the Golot into the Golos Bovel, Sherodinus Yisrael B'Shevet. And they were the leadership there. They were Rodinus Yisrael B'Shevet. They were the ones who were controlling the people. They were the ones who were ensuring law and order for Klal Yisrael in Golos. And from there you see the necessity of tracing the Shevet Mi'Yehuda. It has to still come from Yehuda. And the Ramban says, at the end of Sefer Bereishis, like this, he says, "Lofi daiti hoyom malachim hamolchem al Yisrael mishar shvotim acharei David." He says the malachim who ruled over Klal Yisrael from the other shvotim after David, over Maldas Avihim, the ones who came who not from Shevet Yehuda, they were over Maldas Avihim. They were going against the Das Avihem, in other words, Yaakov Avinu, the Loyoser Shevet Mi'Yehuda, which in the brachos of Yaakov Avinu, Umavirim Nachalot, they were effectively overstepping the boundaries of what their Nachalot should be. And he brings that they relied on the words of Achia Hashiloni Hanovi, when he anointed, this is in Melachim Aleph, when he anointed Yerovam, and he says, it says, the Pasuk says, V'ane Zera David, I will respond to the Zera of David, Leman Zeres, Ach lo kol hayomim, but not all the days. In other words, seemingly would be a temporary setting. But he says, V'kashar, kasher, Richu Yisrael, Hamlech, Alei, Mishar, Shvotim, Melech, Acham, Melech, Lo, Yechoyzim, El Malchus Yehuda, and didn't go back to Malchus Yehuda, overall, Tzavos, Hazokin, V'nen, Shubohem, and they continued to break what Yaakov Avinu had said, and therefore they were punished. Kmosh Amar Hoshea, Heimim Lichu V'lo Mimeni, V'zeh Hoya Oynesh HaChashmonoim Shemolchu B'Vayas Sheni. Most famously, the Ramban says this was why the Chashmonoim were punished. They ruled at the time of the Vayas Sheni. Ki Hoyu Chasidei Elyon. Unquestionably, they were great tzaddikim. V'moli Hein Shtakva Torah V'Hamitzvus Mi'Yisrael. Without them, the Torah Mitzvus would have been lost from Klal Yisrael. V'Afal Pichein Nenshu Oynesh Godo. And nevertheless, they were punished terribly. They suffered terribly. Ki Arbos B'nei Chashmonei Azokein HaChasidim HaMolchem Zeh HaZem Kol Gvoros Matzlochosum Noflu B'Yadoi Ve'em B'Cherev. You learn the story, you read the story of what happened to the Chashmonoim after the events of Hanukkah. It's a story of tragedy after tragedy. What happened to them? The four sons, these great Chassidim, Hamolchem Zeh HaZem, they rule one after the other. All of them fell into the hands of their enemies. And eventually you get to the final terrible end of the whole family, as described in the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, where we have a situation where the last remaining surviving member of the family, she jumps off the roof and she says, "Kol man d'omim beis chashmonoi ko asino avdohu," right? Because Hurdus, Herod, taken over, and she said, whoever says they're from the beis chashmonoi now have the status of an eved because there's no one left. There's no one left. And what must he said? And effectively, what happened was it was midah keneged midah shehim shel hakodesh baruch hu aleihem es avdeihem vehem ichrisim. Right? They Hashem, effectively, they their servants became ruled over them. They lost the right to be to melucha, to kingship. So what you see from here, again, is this idea that malchus as a whole, it has a very specific definition. When we talk about the concept of a melech, what we mean specifically is a melech from Beis David, from Yehuda. That's what we mean. But in a broader sense, in understanding at least the way the Netziv understands, and perhaps also within the understanding within the run, in the sense of how he understands the function of the king, there is an understanding, it seems, that there is a role there is a role and a function for a democratic system, if that's the will of the people, that's what the people want in order to, practically speaking, run affairs. The question is, do we have, and this is very relevant, not just, and this is relevant for the general running of a kehilla. So people would sometimes, even taking it away from a country perspective, right? Let's think about democracy on a more local level, right? So how and where do we have a source for the usage of, let's say, a democratic system for, let's say, a kehilla, for example? Where do we base that around? And is that a useful model for understanding how democracy can work from a Torah perspective? On that, you have the concept of Shiva Tove Ho'er, the Zayin Tove Ho'er. The Shiva Tove Ho'er goes back many, many generations. It was in medieval times, also right up to the 19th century. There were many, many kehillas in Europe who basically had autonomy. They basically had their own, in many, many affairs, they were able to run their own affairs. They were under the rule of the king, they were under the rule of the authorities, but they had their own system of governance, taxation, and they even sometimes had the power to punish and to imprison as well. There are several, I think, shuls in Europe where you could still go and outside there, the remains of what where they used to chain people up, whether it was Masarif Get or someone like that. Whatever it was, they had the ability to impose punishment. Basically, what it was a fascinating thing. It was basically a system of local government run al pi halacha. That's basically what was going on, right? It was run completely al pi halacha, and it was on a local level. What did the Chazal and the Rishonim say about this idea? Where does it come from? So as the Gemara is Yerushalmi and Megillah. The Yerushalmi says like this, that the Zayin, the Shivam, Ibnei Ho'ir, are Ke'ir. The seven appointed elders of the city are like the city. So the Yerushalmi asks, Manon Kaimen, what are we talking about? Im Keshek Beshe Kiblu Alehen, if we're talking about where they accepted them over them, that they said that they accepted their authority, the town accept their authority, so then Afilu Echot. Even one, right? If you agree to it, right? It's like you choose the. If you decide that someone is in control, that everyone decides, then what does it make a difference? There's seven. Im b'shaloi kiblu aleihen. If they haven't accepted them upon themselves, afilu kamo. Even many more. So it doesn't make a difference. Otherwise, even many more won't help, right? If the people haven't accepted them, make a difference how many there are. It's not going to help. Elokeinon on kaimen bistam. That these people. That these seven people, they're assumed to be accepted. Once you've appointed, if these seven have been appointed by the city, then, by the town, by the kehilla, then they have that assumed authority, right? They're accepted bistam. So, what exactly does that mean? What does that mean? So the Rashba, Shailas Tshuvas Rashba, says like this. The Rashba says, Kloma kishemidu aleim hatzibo shiva parnasim stam. If the tzibur appoint seven leaders without specifying, lefakech al iskei tzibur, to supervise and to be responsible for all matters of the tzibur, lefichoshin shiva yeshlem rishus l'chol dovar, kilu osu kein kol b'nei ho'er. So they're accepted without conditions. It is as if they have responsibility for every aspect of the tzibur. That's the idea, right? That's what it means, bistam. You know, even if they haven't specified all of the areas that they have control over, it's assumed they have rishus l'chol dovar. Avol b'shaloi amidu asom al dovar zeh b'feirush. There might be a certain matter that comes up, and they hadn't specified that in the terms that they, you know, the terms of reference, if you like, that these shiva tovei o'er have. They make a difference. Once they have the status of shiva tovei o'er, they are able to sort out those matters as well. But less than seven, they don't have that same level, that same power to have the status of the whole city. Right? He brings a zeichel adovar shiva roye pnei hamelech. Right? Then we get it. So the seven. Once you have those seven, that's the power that they have, even on matters that they haven't specifically been given the rishus over. The question is, effectively, obviously, who decides who should be, you know, who gets to appoint the Shiva Tove Ha'ir. And he says there's a Tshuva of the Mara Mirotenberg, which is born, yeah, and he says like this, Tshuva's Maimonides, he's born Tshuva's Maimonides, he says like this, the Yelchu, Acha Horoiv, yeah, he says that what you do is, Sheyesh Lahoshiv Kol B'nei Batim, Kol B'nei Batim, Shenosnin Mas, tax paying Balabatim, basically they're the ones who have the right to make this appointment, and the Yelch Acharoiv, and you go after the majority, Hein Babira Roshim, Hein Lahamid Chazanim, he gives a whole list, whether it's appointing the heads of the Kehillah, presumably like the Shiva Tove Ha'er, whether it's appointing the Chazanim, whether it's to appoint those who are responsible, Akis Shald Stoka, Limnos Gaboim, right? So the Maharam Mirotenberg says all of these features and all of these aspects of the Kehillah, he goes on to talk about building or list or Beis HaKnesses, as a whole, all of these major decisions are determined, he says, by the majority of the tax-paying members of the Kehillah. And the minority, he says, yesh kach biyad harov, there's the power, the majority have the power, or the ones whom the majority, the roiv, appoint over them, as they have the ones who have the response, they have the power, if you like, to make those decisions, whether it's B'dinei Yisrael, in terms of things that they have to apply the halacha on a local, local level, to the extent that they were able to do so, or whether it's B'dinei Ha'omos as well, meaning the jurisdiction they've been given, B'dinei Ha'omos, like, for example, local taxation or whatever, they have the right to make those decisions. The Rosh, in his Tshuvas, says a similar idea, and he says it's very simple. It has to be based on a concept of roiv, of the majority, because he says the Torah says achrei rabim lahatos in every respect. V'al kol inyan l'shakol maskimim holchem achrei roiv. You always go after the majority. V'ayichidim tzrichim l'kayim kol ma'ashe yaskimu aleihem. Individuals always have to agree to what the majority say. Dim lokein la'odolim lo yaskimu akol al shum dovo. The kol will never agree to anything. Im yeikoch b'yichidim levatel haskom asot. You can never build any society, any kehillah around one person. That's a klal gadol in kehillah life. If you try and build a kehillah around one person, you're going to fail, right? There are always going to be individuals, and not everyone's going to be happy with every decision. It's impossible. You have to build around the majority. You have to get a sense of what most people want, That's how you have to go. The Radvaz in his Tshuvas goes further and says that there is the rights of the Shiva Tove Ha'ir is even extend as far to appoint an individual who they feel should be able to fulfill and carry out and lead in terms of all matters of leadership of the Kehillah. He says like this. So he says, even though we don't have that authority as we once had, I presume he's talking about even going back to we don't have the even authority that they had in Bovel. He's saying, there is this ability of having even a dayan echod to rule in the place of a leader, if you like. They can appoint someone as a dayan over them. And once they select him, it's as if everyone has accepted him. So now he's going another level, right? Because it's the Shiva Tove Ha'ir selecting this individual to be, let's say, the dayan over the whole Kehillah, they have the right to do that as well. What is important to bear in mind, though, is that clearly there are responsibilities that these elected leaders have as well. And this is very, very important when it comes to the application of, let's say, as we say, like a sort of democratic system, let's say on a Kehillah level. It's important to understand that in Halacha, those representatives have very serious responsibilities themselves of integrity as well. So the Chazon Ish says, for example, in his on Basra, he says like this. He says, "Vim shiva tovei o'er shenivru einom tovim be'emes." If they're not proper, they're not really good for the task. Let's say that they were selected through an improper process, a process that the Bnei Ha'ir who were choosing them weren't really acting l'shem shomayim. Elo kafi kirav daitom la'anoshim v'siyomim. Right? They were there was friendship with certain individuals, there's some nepotism going on, there's all sorts of dodgy things behind the scenes. Ein lahanivroim shum goya. So then those who are selected have no authority. It has to be a system of integrity. It's a democratic system, but that by definition it must have integrity. And similarly, the Noda Yehuda says in his Tshuvos to Choshen Mishpat, he says that the Shiva Tovei Ha'ir, if they want to institute something which is to do, for example, with taxation, then Ein Laim Shum, he says, Shum Yisroimus Mitzad Yosem Parasum Tovei Ha'ir, they don't have any special powers in terms of their ability to suddenly impose, let's say, a new tax on the Kehillah. On that, they don't have rights over that. Even though he says, and this is quite a striking phrase, V'atra tovo er kebeist in Hagadol. In Halacha, they're recognized like the based in Hagadol. They have a tremendous significance. Mekomokum, he says, Be'inyone nesinas hamisim, when it comes to the imposition of taxes, Ein lahem yeses seis v'yeses az m'sharam. Then they have no more power than the rest of the people. V'afilim biru kvar, shalmina ke mekomokum. Even if they've determined that that's always been the minhag, their problem with the whole system, with the taxation system itself, he says, is that they're nogeh b'davar, right? By definition. And then it affects them. And in that respect, they're not called the tovei ha'ir. Just because they're tovei ha'ir, he says, it doesn't mean they're allowed to judge things for themselves. So finally we have the absolutely clear Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, called Amelim im Atzibur, you Amelim im Moyen Hashem Shomayim. The idea being that anyone who's involved in any aspect of the Tzibur, this definitely applies to this situation, people who are involved in leadership of a Kehillah, they have to understand that the most essential quality one needs is Lashem Shomayim. Rabbeinu Yonah says, Lo liskabed v'lo nihonos, not to have personal benefit, not to become honored through it, not to lord themselves over them, Ela lanhigom b'derech yeshara, in an upright way, v'akol l'shem shumayim, and everything l'shem shumayim. So what we see from this whole piece is that we see that there are, it does seem, certainly according to the Netziv, potentially in the Drasha Saran as well, there is an understanding that the functions of a king certainly could be fulfilled by a democratically elected body, certainly at least in some respects. And we have an example of that in the Kehillah system, which existed for many centuries in Klal Yisrael. And to an extent, there is therefore much I think we can learn from that in terms of the way we run Kehillahs now as well, using that model of the Shiva Tovei Ha'ir and the way they were supposed to function in those times and to this day as well. Okay, have a good day. Obvious get off.